Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of studying your word again today. Lord, we are so thankful that you are so patient with us, that you teach us in so many different directions, Lord, the tabernacle included, but also even the priest's clothing. And we pray, Lord, that you would make this a profitable day for us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I don't know if you remember, but when the Bible talks about the tabernacle, it starts listing all the furniture, and then it lists priestly garments, and then it comes back to furniture. So we're jumping back to Exodus 28 is where we're at today. So if it looks like we're not making good time, we've already been in Exodus 40, which is the last chapter of Exodus. So we're going to discuss the apparel of the priests, the garments of the priests, and then we're going to talk about the sacrifices of the priests probably next week. And then we'll probably get into the feasts and offerings after that. So, okay? All right. The whole chapter is here, like we sometimes will do. There we go. Let's start reading down here, and it's pretty straightforward. I'll try and explain a little bit. I found some cool things too late about the tabernacle, just as far as materials go. But now Aaron, your brother, this is verse 1, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel. It says, now take Aaron. I forgot the verb, and that changes everything. Right? Now take Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's son, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. So what is he saying here? And by the way, it's not the first time it's stated it. But it's who will be the priests, right? So it's Aaron and Aaron's sons. Now we call it one of two things, and I'll write over here. What is that priesthood called? A couple different. Yeah, Levitical. And why is it Levitical? Yeah, the tribe of Levi. But, as someone said, it's the tribe of Levi only, right? It's even more focused in there. It's the Aaronic priesthood. So if you hear Aaronic, I think I spelled that right. It's because it's Aaron and his descendants are the priests. You couldn't be called into the ministry, the priestly ministry. You were what? Born into it. And by the way, males and only certain ones, right? Because it was Aaron's sons and then only the direct line would be, and this would be the I think it was just them, but eventually all of the descendants, right? Now, there were other things that the Levites did. They did all kinds of things. They cared for the, they helped with the offerings. They cared for all the furnishings. What were some of the other functions of the Levites? We'll get to that as we go, but this is weird, too. Anyone here ever sing in a choir? You ever sing in a choir because of who your parents were? Yeah, if they were good singers. There was a group of the Levites that were the singers. Right? So you didn't join the choir either. You were born into the choir.
They were also the teachers.
And I don't know what the mix was, but yeah, the Levites would actually eat with people and they would interact at the table and stuff, and it didn't necessarily mean that you were a priest. You were just a Levite, but they helped with everything, okay? Hauling stuff around, there were Levites that carried the garbage out and stuff of the tabernacle, things like that. Okay, even when they returned, some of them were slaves of Solomon descendant, but it was a very prestigious position, and those descendants carried the waste out and things like that. It was very much Levitical, and that's it, the tribe of Levi. So, but the specific priesthood, and I honestly haven't ever tried it, Caiaphas, for example, was the high priest in Jesus' time. He would have had to have been a descendant of Aaron. What a disappointment for Aaron, huh? So, anyway, so that's two. It's Aaron and his sons. Some of his sons were Nadab and Abihu actually were killed shortly after this. Because you can't be a priest, even if you're born into the right family, you can't be a priest the way you want to be either. Okay, so it was very specific, okay? Verse 2 here, it's correlating with the number at this point, but it says, "And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother for glory and for beauty." So it's what priests wear. Now, this is in general here. It's a generalist thing, but it's holy garments, right? Set apart garments. And there's another part of it. There's two reasons. Did you catch that? This is interesting. For glory, I'm not sure how you define that necessarily. Maybe that's, would that be spectacular maybe? And how would that differ from beauty? I don't know. Any ideas there?
Maybe because it was a family. It was set apart than what any other person could wear.
Yeah, but, and that's true even if those two words weren't there. Would that be fair to say? Can you be holy and not be beautiful? Thank you, Lord. Okay, for some of us, and I'm thinking some of me, I've been put on the earth to do two things. I've shared this before. To make people feel better about how they play basketball and to make people feel better about how they look, right? So I'm an encouragement in both examples. And would, I mean, but glory is more than just peculiar. Would that be fair?
I guess in defining both words, other people could wear things that were beautiful, but they could not wear things that brought glory to God.
And I don't know that I can agree with you, because I can wear clothes that bring glory to God right now.
Okay.
Is that fair to say that? Can I glory God? Glorify God by what I wear. No, I said glorify the Lord in what I wear. If I can glorify Him whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, then I think the glorify, at least in that concept, is a little different.
We've gotten away from that, though, and, because today people generally wear what clothing they have. Those clothes were for them and them.
Right. But I'm saying, I'm only guessing, but I think glory might mean something. It's not just beautiful, it's like wowable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, there's a, it's, if beautiful is nice, glory would be wow. Wow, and it like, you know, we don't get wowed much today because we can produce about anything that looks. Yes.
There's the breastplate. There's the girdles.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about all that today. So, but those two, it's like, you know, one's beauty is special. It's above the common or not normal. It's made not just to be functional, but it's made to look very nice. But also glorious. At least I always think of like light. There's a lot of gold in this. As well as other things. So it's like, you know, when I think of glorious, I often think of light. So anyway, that's my best shot at that anyway. But obviously glory and beauty is different than function by itself. They're additions to function. Verse 3, so you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as priest. So number 3 is who will make the garments. And it's interesting, all of the intricacies of the tabernacle, including the cloth, the moldings, the beaten gold, all of that, the woodworking and all of that, God gave artisans to be able to do this. So it wasn't just, hey, who took a woodshop class, you know, or whatever. God enabled these guys through the Holy Spirit to be able to do this really fancy stuff. And maybe they've never done it quite that well or something before, but this would be spectacular, especially in that day. Like I said, in our day, a pattern like this is nothing. In days before the sewing machines and all of that, this would be spectacular. The tie would be. And it's just like, Kevin, it's just a tie. Now it is. But the pattern and stuff would be very intricate. Now that's nothing, right? So factor that into that, right? Okay, verse 4 gives like an introductory, I call it list. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, and a sash. So they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as priest. Now, they keep saying that he may minister to me as priest. It says in verse 1, verse 3, and verse 4 so far, okay? So if you got that. So an introductory list. Now, the first one they go into detail on is the ephod. Number 5 is a colorful ephod. Pardon me? We're going to talk about that. Okay, it says, and they shall take the gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread. So the 4 types of threads, right? And fine linen, and they shall make the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, artistically worked. It shall have 2 shoulder straps, joined at its 2 edges, and so it shall be joined together. And the intricately woven band of the ephod, which is on it, shall be of the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. The ephod seems to be like it's not an apron, but it's kind of like that on the front and the back, the way it sounds, at least on the front, but it says it's joined at the top. So it's like a really fancy apron. Very ornate. Okay? Go ahead. Yeah, but you wouldn't call it a schmuck. I'm just teasing. That's like calling it a pair of slacks. You know, it's like, guys, no, these are jeans. So, I've got more here. Hang on a sec. Other questions while I look for my stuff here. What you see is that it's very... I'm going to pull out a picture of the priest here, a bigger one if I can find it. It's very ornate. And again, for that day, and to us, I honestly think the significance is diminished because we have all this fancy stuff. It's like special effects in a movie. Once you see it, it's like, oh, that's no big deal. I've seen that several times. Like, no, you've seen special effects that made you make it look like Moses was walking through the Red Sea, but that was all special effects, right? This was actually happening to people. Well, in the same way with clothing, it was such a beautiful pattern, and it was unusually beautiful, very intricately beautiful, and it would be uncommon, especially when you start weaving all the different colors in it all. Looking for a bigger picture, sorry. Which I have. I have two different ones, but I'll find the one I'm looking for here. But the ephod is like a sleeveless apron. That's what they think, anyway. I don't even have it. Anyway, here's a more simple one. That's not the one I'm looking for. But it would be like this purple thing here. So it's like a...
It looks like an apron,
yeah. Okay. So it's real beautiful. It's like a front and a back, but it's connected at the top. So if you think of it, and then there's a hole in the middle that it describes, so it just pulls over the top of you. But it's front and back, right? Okay. Sorry. All right. The next one here is two engraved onyx stones. And this is interesting because you sit and follow this closely, you see that there's two different times names are listed. Now let's see if you can gather which ones are. Then you shall take two onyx stones. And by the way, the word is engraved for number six. They actually engraved these different types of stones, two onyx stones here. Engrave on them the names of what? So underline that if you would. It'll make more sense as we go. Six of their names on one stone and six names on the other stone. In what way? Okay. So what would we start out with? You have two stones. I don't know what the shape was, but I assume there's something like this. If you're listing six. Who's the oldest? I'm not going to ask you to list them all. Reuben. Let me agree. I spell it wrong. My wife likes Reuben. Who's the youngest? Okay. The rest, you can fill in on your own. How's that? Okay, Joseph is one of the easy ones, and Reuben. Judah is third, I know, is Simeon, and then, yeah. Okay, so you get the idea. So it's the sons, got it? Six and six. In order of? Okay. Oldest to youngest, right? Okay. And I don't know, maybe they were this way, Reuben and Simeon, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. Good point. One of my pictures actually does it this way with the other one. Six of their names on one stone, six names on the other stone in order of their birth with the work of an engraver in stone like the engravings of a signet. How do you say that? Signet? Okay. Signé, if you're French. You shall engrave the two stones with the names of the sons of Israel. You shall set them in settings of what? Sounds pretty glorious to me. And you shall put the two stones on the shoulders of the ephod as the memorial stones for the sons of Israel. Sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. So what did these do? What did these serve as? Memorial for who?
12 sons.
12 sons of? Okay. Okay, and where are they? Okay, so on his shoulders. So here it shows little ones here, I guess. Okay? There's like a little stone on either side, so not very big, at least the way they show it here. Now, I have another picture, and it actually has them on top. All right? Kind of gives you that idea anyway. All right, the next one here. So it's like, okay, now you have this schmock or apron or vest. It's not really a vest, but it kind of looks that way. And then number seven here, we talk about an ornate breastplate, okay? So this goes over top of that schmuck or apron or vest, okay? You should make the breastplate of judgment. That's the name of it, the breastplate of judgment, okay? Artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod, you shall make it. So you're going to kind of match it with the ephod, okay? Gold, purple, or gold, blue, purple, scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. So you're making this breastplate, so it's another layer of first sewn items, okay? And it shall be doubled into a square. So it sounds like you start out with a rectangle and then fold it over maybe or something to make it a square, or at least two layers. And its span shall be its width, so it's square, okay? Now, verse 17, you should put settings of stones in it. Boy, this thing had to weigh a lot by the time you put all this on. Settings of stones in it, four rows of stones. The first row shall be, and then it starts listing them, okay? The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and an emerald. And again, as Pastor Jim says, you're starting from the what?
Left.
The right. That's what you meant to say, right? You're going left. You got to, I know it's, yeah. We're thinking the same. Okay, and I'm not going here. The second row shall be a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. So these are all very precious stones. Would again highlight the idea of glorious, maybe even expensive, elaborate, spectacular. If it's something that big in diamond, now again, maybe it's not all one piece, so I don't know, but that's huge. Third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. So you got another row, right? And this again is the breastplate somehow woven on or connected. Fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. So you have four rows, and it's square. Mine aren't square. Oh, no, I guess the actual breastplate is square. Okay. Stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each with its own name. They shall be according to the 12 what? What's different? 12 sons. What's the difference between 12 sons and 12 tribes? Huh? Is there a difference? They are different. Remember, way back in Genesis, for example, is there a tribe of Joseph? The answer is no. Jacob adopted Joseph's boys. So they became equal with, there's 11 brothers plus Joseph's two. So technically at that point, there's how many tribes? Or how many sons? 13, right? 11 and 2. Right? So far, is my math good? So far, okay. All right, so he adopted Ephraim. Ephraim's descendants became the largest tribe of the northern 10 tribes. And the northern 10 tribes became known as Ephraim. That's how prominent it became. What was the other one? Okay, who is the older one?
Manasseh.
Remember, Jacob blessed him like this, whichever way, and you're supposed to bless the older with the right hand. Anyway, he said, no, Manasseh will be great too, but Ephraim will be greater. Okay, so you have 13, but there's only 12 tribes of Israel, so what's with this?
The one tribe of Joseph.
Well, we already took that out.
I understand that.
No, there's 13 so far. My math is good. 11, we'd subtract Joseph, but add Joseph's two sons, so that's 13.
Okay.
Who's the one that didn't get any inheritance because God was their inheritance? Yeah. So you subtract one because of the tribe of Levi, and you have the 12 tribes of Israel. And it really depends on what the Bible's talking about at any given time. Are you talking about Jacob's sons? Are you talking about Jacob's sons after he adopts Joseph's sons? Or are you talking about the 12 tribes of Israel after the divisions are divided up, right? In Israel. Because it depends, because Levi was taken out because he got no inheritance because his inheritance was the Lord. What did they get for land when they go into the promised land? Cities, right? They were the Levites received cities, but they received no territories. Okay? Some of the cities of refuge, for example, were Levite cities. All of the cities of refuge were Levite cities, but they had more cities than just the cities of refuge. Okay. All right? So this would list Joseph. This would list Ephraim and Manasseh without Levi. And again, you find different lists at different times. In Revelation, what are they talking about when they have 12,000 from every tribe of Israel? Which 12? Well, but well, it's 144,000. It's only 12, so it's which 12? I'm just telling you. Does it list them? Okay.
I believe so.
But and my point is, you have to look at the context to determine who are the 12. That's my point on that. Because there's certain things. The gates of the New Jerusalem list the 12. I don't know if it's the 12 sons or the 12 tribes of Israel. So either Ephraim's on there or he's not, for example. So it's a little confusing. But understand that the Bible, it depends on what he's talking about. On the very priestly garment, it listed them two different ways. The onyx stones were the 12 sons. The breastplate were the 12 tribes. Okay? All right, you should make, 12 tribes. So you might want to underline that at the underneath verse 21 there. You shall make chains for the breastplate at the end, like the braided cords of pure gold. So again, more glorious decoration and beauty. You shall, by the way, we're right here in this verse right here, right now. You shall make two rings of gold for the breastplate and the two rings on the end of the breastplate, so they have rings to hang gold chains, okay? Then you should put the two braided chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two braided chains you shall fasten to the two settings and put them on the shoulder straps of the ephod in the front. So you have them apparently up here somewhere and then they go down, okay? They're up on your shoulders and go down. You shall make two rings of gold and put them on the two ends of the breastplate, and on the edge of it, which is in the inner side of the ephod, and two other rings of gold you shall make and put them on the two shoulder straps underneath the ephod toward its front, right at the seam above the intricately woven band of ephod. So they're basically running gold chains through this thing. Different rings to run the chain through so they can have something to hang on instead of just dragging. Okay? They shall bind the breastplate by means of its rings to the rings of the ephod using a blue cord so that it is above the intricately woven band of the ephod. So there's a band on the ephod, but it's below the breastplate. Okay. So that the breastplate does not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of the judgment over his heart, when he continually goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord. So what does this say he's doing? He's wearing them over his heart as a memorial. And it says the sons of Israel, but it clarifies that it's the tribes. Sons of Israel as in the tribes this time, okay? Who's representing the tribe of Levi then?
Aaron.
Yeah, the priest is from that tribe. He's the only one that has a physical presence, right? Everyone else, he's subbing for. Okay, so there doesn't need to be a representative of Levi because he happens to be present. Okay. The next one here, Pastor Jim, I'll let him explain the Urim and the Thummim. Anything to add to that? The reason I say this is because it doesn't really explain it. Joseph Smith used the Urim and Thummim to translate the Book of Mormon, so he said. Though a lot of times you just looked into his hat.
That's where they were.
I'm a shirt tail relation to Joseph Smith. I am not proud. The guy was a swindler, a scandal. He tried to sell magic corn. And then he created a religion so you could marry as many women as you want, including women that were married to other people at the time. They would take them. So Mormons don't have the best history. Urim and Thummim. And you should put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. By the way, both of those, Sean's not feeling well, he's auditorium, but he would tell you that they're plural. So the yours and the thumbs? I don't know if you'd say it that way. But and they shall be over Aaron's heart when he goes in before the Lord. So Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord continually. So this whole breastplate has all of this together, the chains and everything. But the Urim and the Thummim, whatever they are inside of the breastplate, there over his heart. So the whole breastplate is the breastplate of what? Judgment, right? So all of it together makes up that. Okay, but each piece. Now the Urim and Thummim, some people, and it only comes up in a couple places, but some people think it might be, it means lights and perfection. Some people think it might have been like different colors of stones or something, but they would actually, there was a couple times when they would use it to get revelation from God. So, I don't think so. I don't think there were spices.
So, they were stones. That's all we know. And whether they were translucent stones or whether or not they were colored stones, like the 12 stones that were on there.
And apparently most likely two different kinds of stones or two different colors of stones.
And knowing the combination of how it worked, only the priest would know that.
Can you imagine wearing this gown would have to be heavy to start with. It's thick and intricate with all this gold weaving. You put these onyx stones on your shoulders and then you hang this breastplate that it's cloth in the background, but it has to be tough enough to somehow attach or sew these stones with these names on it.
That's what the gold was for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I'm saying, oh, that'll make it nice and light too, right? Gold is pretty heavy. And then you put rocks in it, or whatever the Urim and Thummim are. You know, so the priestly posture would probably be like this. He'll bend over. Oh, you must be the high priest. Why? Because you're standing 4 foot high. I don't know. I'm sure they didn't, but it would have been they would have known they were dressed. All right. It was very fancy. Go ahead, Teresa. I don't know. You mean just from a weight standpoint? I don't know, because it tells you what they're for. And that's why I'm not getting too far into this is what it means, because the text tells you what it means. It's a memorial for this. It's a judgment, you know, next to his heart as a memorial. So I think it's very much directly related to the children of Israel at the time. The one thing that we'll get into probably a little later is Jesus is not a priest after the Aaronic or Levitical order. So it doesn't really apply at all in one sense. These things picture what he will do, but it does not correlate one for one because he's from the order of Melchizedek, which is a completely different order. It's not even Jewish. Melchizedek didn't descend from Abraham even, right? So I'm only throwing that out. There's so much symbolism here that I think, you know, you can say this obviously represents a lot of things. But directly, this relates to the 12 sons and the 12 tribes and their approach to God through the priest. Directly. Now, the priesthood, obviously, as we looked at the tabernacle last week, there's all kinds of symbolism for every step of the way. Jesus is the blood offering at the brazen altar. He is the one you confess to at the laver. He is the light of the world, and he's the bread of life, and he's the incense is the prayer of the saints, but he's also the advocate between us and the Father, and then ultimately the mercy seat. Jesus is ultimately the propitiation for our sins. So I think it very much presents it. The thing that I'm trying to stay away from is saying like, oh yeah, now this one's diamond. By the way, this is diamond. I got that one right. This is diamond, and that represents something about Jesus. Well, maybe, but it doesn't say that. So I'm trying to avoid meticulous teardown where it's not there.
One of the things your picture is adequate to show us the thing, but the one thing we need to understand is these words were not, the names of the tribes were not in English. They were in Hebrew. And the caricatures are a whole lot of a different size than what are in.
That's true.
And so the size of the stones may not be that size. There's no measurement for the size of the stone. It just says this diamond or this stone.
There's the picture here, and it almost looks like it's like a 1x2 or 1.5x3 inch. What the artist's rendition, right? It's not a photo, right? But it's artist, so we don't know. But it's true. Hebrew is made up, and I'm telling you more about Hebrew than I know. But say like there's I don't even know if this is a word, but most Hebrew words start out with a 3-letter root. Like Jehovah is actually just 4 letters, you know. So it's very much abbreviated. There's no vowels in Hebrew, so you don't have to, you know. It's kind of like Czech. Okay, I grew up partway in Cedar Rapids, and Dad said it's amazing because people have like 8-letter last names with no vowels. So, but anyway, yeah, it would be much shorter. I have one here, a phrase that if I can find it, I'll write it on the board, but you can see holiness to the Lord is not very long either. So Sean could come in and write.
So the size of the stone still is engraved by the names of the tribes or the sons of Israel, and the only thing is that these were encased in gold. They were set in gold.
And it's regardless, that's got to be. Have you ever had rocks in your pockets as a kid? I mean, this is, I'm not saying, you know, you can only serve to be a priest until when? 50. And you only went in at certain times, different ways, you know, and stuff like that. So you quit when you're 50. You did other things. You might advise or help, but you didn't do any of the hard stuff. You would be exhausted by the time you were 50 doing all the sacrifices, so. Let's keep going here. There's 3 more. The robe is number 9. It's So there's a robe, and this, I believe, as I understand it, is what the ephod, you put the robe on, then you put the ephod on. So they aren't necessarily going in order. They're almost going as like ornate and working in, okay? So they're doing the outward stuff and then working in, as you'll see. This is verse 31 by number 9 here. You shall make the robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. It shall have a woven binding all around its opening, like the opening in a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet all around its hem, and bells of gold between them all around. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate. So there's two sets, right? Upon the hem, not two sets, but that's the order, it sounds like. It's all the way around. And it shall be upon Aaron when he ministers, and its sound will be heard when he goes into the holy place before the Lord, and when he comes out, that he may not die. So the robe is all blue. It's still ornate. It has all, the hem is very ornate. It has pomegranates and bells. And the bells are there, not only to be decorative, but to be indicative of whether the guy is still ringing or not when he goes into the holy place. Okay? Number 10. There's two here, and I couldn't really separate them because they list them together. There's the tunic. And I think that's the innermost garment. And the turban. Or the hat. Okay. You shall also make a plate of gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And you shall put it on a blue cord, that it may be on the turban. What's the turban? The hat, the wrap for the hat. And it shall be on the front of the turban. So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts. So this thing that they hang on the his turban has a meaning too, that they're bearing the iniquity of the holy things. That seems kind of weird to say that. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. You shall skillfully weave the tunic of fine linen thread. You shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the sash, like the belt, if you will, of woven work. For Aaron's sons you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and for beauty. So the high priest has the fancy stuff, but you also have other stuff for Aaron's sons who are not filling that high priest position at the moment. So you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and his sons with them. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. So again, they're working kind of from the outside in to some degree. The last one here is trousers, linen trousers. Also known as boxer briefs. Look at verse 42. And you shall make for them linen trousers to cover their nakedness. It's interesting, but God cares about nakedness even at this level. They already had all this stuff on. And yet they had to wear something underneath. Okay? They shall reach from the waist to the thighs. I told you, boxer briefs, right? And they shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. You mean not wearing underwear will get you killed? Listen, it would Aaron and his sons in the temple. That wasn't a rule for everybody everywhere, but God said, you don't come in here naked. Any part of you, right? And it shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. And thus fruit of the loom was born. Pomegranates, yeah. Apples and bananas and other things. Here's again the picture that I have here. There's the inside would be the the tunic, right? That's the white part that's kind of the inner robe, if you think about it. Then he puts on the robe, which is the outer garment, the blue there. And then notice he has the... this doesn't look right. Anyone want to know why? Where were the bells and the pomegranates? They're on the bottom of the robe. Not up here, so... Yeah, they were pomegranates that looked like pomegranates, but they had bells and pomegranates all the way around. So those were actually down on the robe, not on the ephod, right? So there's your 12 stones, the different stones, on the square thing, and then underneath it was what? Or inside of it? The Urim and the Thummim. Urim and Thummim. It's the Urim and the Thummim. I don't know why, but there's two articles there. And then you have the onyx stones up top. And then there's the turban. And then there's the holiness to the Lord idea in the front there. So growing up, I always, at least to me, the only thing I could remember was that the priests always had just long hair. I didn't remember seeing any turbans. It must be just because I... wasn't paying attention or something, but I was shocked, not this time around, but several years ago when I came across it, and I didn't think about them wearing the turban, because I think we'd been so Englishized. I'm still looking for one picture.
Very interesting is that the King James used the word mitre.
Mitre instead of turban, yes. Oh, do they call it a mitre?
Yeah, mitre
must be Latin or something.
And it's kind of funny because it's not a lot different than what you would think of a turban.
Yeah, that's weird that it just must be a translated word for it then. You can't see it. I'm looking for a bigger... Here's the biggest one I got right now. If you can see it, I'll show you two things. It's very small. But you can see the priest, this has the stuff down on his robe. You see that down there? But everything's very ornate and woven and stuff. It would be just like I said, a wow kind of thing. And he's got all these chains that go around and stuff like that. So, again, we don't have a photograph. If you do, it's probably from Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I probably wouldn't hold on to it. This here is Hebrew here, and this phrasing here, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 letters, and that means holiness to the Lord, and you, of course, read it from right to left. So to give you what Pastor Jim was saying, if you just had a tribe name of Judah or something, you'd probably have just three letters, so it wouldn't be long. So Benjamin was probably 4 or something, son of my right hand, whatever that, but it's... very abbreviated there, so to give you an idea. So, here's the list of the tribes from the oldest to the youngest, and they went down. Again, I don't know if it went across or down, but then here's the other ones, and you have the Levi is missing, for example. Okay, so again, it's a little confusing because at different times the Bible uses different ideas, okay? So same with the book of Revelation, so don't let it throw off. Well, if it lists 12 tribes, it might list the 12 tribes as in the 12 sons of Israel, too.
It's listed in chapter 7.
Is this Revelation?
Revelation.
Okay.
It starts out with Judah.
Yeah.
Reuben.
And Judah is not the oldest, is he?
No. Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin.
So who's missing? How many are there? Did you count them?
There are 12.
Who's missing? Is Simeon in there?
Simeon's there.
List them again.
Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Ephraim. and Joseph. Those two are not there. And Levi is.
And Manasseh is.
Manasseh is.
It's just the weirdest thing. Anyway, there's reasons why they do what they do, so.
Oh, wait a minute. Dan is not there either.
But Joseph is, verse 8.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
So why would Joseph and Manasseh be listed, but not Dan or?
Dan was taken out.
Or Ephraim.
He was removed, and I can't remember why. But he was just inherited because of something. And he was the only one.
But Ephraim, what about Ephraim?
Ephraim is not there either.
I know, that's my point. So, I don't know. We're not studying Revelation 7. But my point is that they list different ones at different times, and if there's a reason for them, there's a reason why they list the ones that they do there, you can figure it out and let us know for now, unless we get to Revelation soon. So, other questions or comments? Yes, Karen. That would have been Revelation, yeah, John. Yeah, so, and I don't know which...
12 apostles.
But there's also 12 tribes. The gates are the...
Foundation is the 12.
The tribes, okay. And is that what you were reading, or is that something else?
The witnesses.
Okay. Yeah, so, see, why wouldn't there be witnesses for me, for him, and Dan? You know, so... And they are for others. So, because if you want to include them all, you'd end up with 154? 158,000 or something. So it's confusing at times. But again, there's logic behind them. You just have to figure out what their logic is for it. So they don't miss them. There's a reason why they're not there. Thank you very much for tolerating my skipness in my brain today. So I appreciate it. Let's pray, shall we? I'm going to ask my father-in-law to close us in prayer, if you would please, Dad.
Father, we thank you for your word, for the clear instruction that you give to the nations, and even us today as we seeking to follow your will and your purpose. May you direct us this week to be a testimony for Jesus, and perhaps, Lord, there's someone that may be led to you. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you very much.